Okay, anyway, so we are up to Perek Lamed Gimel. We have two parakim left to go. And in the previous parak, no surprise, he spoke about Torah. And he spoke about a few different important points, especially at the end of Lamed Aleph. Also, he spoke about actually something that I gave my Shabbos Shuvah Drasha on this year, which is in a Rosenzweig's new Sefer. He has a chapter about the relationship between Talmud Torah and Shuvah. And I gave over his Torah, but then I had a whole kind of Ha'ara or Chiddush, whatever you want to call it, on my own, which are a little bit connected to what Nefesh HaChaim says here in Perek Lamed Aleph, but Torah is a way to do tshuva. Torah can bring you to tshuva. And in this chapter, he spoke a little bit again about the overriding importance of Torah and what it can help a person do. And then this leads us to the last two chapters. Okay. But again, the cosmic metaphysical point, which he had mentioned many times throughout and was reiterating in the previous prakim, was the idea, again, we don't really understand it, at least I mean that, you know, that there's these, you know, all the different spheros and different higher, you know, metaphysical worlds, and then the highest and the highest and the highest, and then Torah is above that. And then it kind of trickles down. So it's that, ulazos. Again, I think that's what he's referring to when he says ulazos. And from this point, I think it's, again, this Kabbalistic metaphysical structure, ulazos, because of this, nitzavinu ba'azhara nora mipiv yisparach loyomo shatora hazeh mipicha avigisa vayomo v'layla. It's in light of this that we have this incredibly strong and severe azhara in halacha, which is actually based on Yoshua, it's not in the Chumash, of not having bittul Torah, but rather trying to be connected in learning in Torah all day and all night. As it says in the Hakdama to Zohar, tachazi kamahu chela takifa da'oraisa, consider, right, that's different, right? The in the Bavli is Tashma, but in Eretz Yisrael it's Tachazi. Come see, Kamuhu Chela. How strong, Takifa? How strong? How powerful is the Torah? But Kamhi Allah Kula. How is it higher than or superior to everything? Begin Kach. And in light of this, Bailei Levarnash Leishtadal Baraisi Yamam Valaylo. Person should do his best to be Mishtadal in Torah day and night. Lo Yet Ade Mina. He shouldn't be Mesir himself, remove himself from it. As it says, Hadahu Dechsev, Vagisa Ba Yama Valaila. The E is Ade, Esparish Minei. And if he somehow separates himself, removes himself from Torah, Kilu Esparish Milana Dechaye. He has removed himself, he has separated himself from the source of life itself, from the tree of life. So again, like a lot of the things that we've seen in Nefesh HaChaim, there are, some of them can be actual, quote unquote, Chidushim. But a lot of them were him, you know, he's had massive, his Bekias is unbelievable. But he's explaining, or if I can use a word that's, you know, in the news these days, contextualizing, right, these psukim or these Mamari Chazal, in light of his metaphysical scheme, they just take on added importance, right? It's like if you were writing a Microsoft Word and then you bolded it, right? The words were still the same. All of a sudden they jump off the page now, right? So Yomosher, he's going to quote some other midrashim. I mean, these are not new, but it's given that he has this cosmic vision of this, you know, again, this scheme. So now these psukim and these mamari chazal take on added significance. Okay, so that was one pasuk highlighted, you know, as I say, by added influence or impact based on that zohar. But Tana de Eliyahu in the Seder Eliyazuta, it says, "Yishtad adam va'atzmo b'divrei Torah." Person should do his best to learn Torah, Shadivrei Torah, Hein Mishulin Belechem Ubamayim. Right? That's a famous pasuk, right? The Lar of Lelechem, Lelutzam Lamayim. Kim Divrei Hashem. Right? So this is the life force, this is the bread and water that a person needs. Why, says the Tana de Eliyahu, of all things, does the Torah, does Tanakh compare Torah to bread and water? Lelamelcha, I teach you. Shem, Shiev, Shalom, Adam, Lamad, Belo Lechem, Ubamayim. Just like a person can't live without bread and water. As it says in the Tanchuma, on the Pasuk of Vayim Shemoa, and in Parshas Hazinu, and in the Medrash. So again, so far the Nefesh HaChaim has done us, on the one hand, a favor, but nothing mechudash, you know, collecting Mamari Chazal. Again, on the other hand, you have this backdrop which kind of gives added context to this, that it's coming from this cosmic reality. But the Tana Bel Yohu, again, is an amazing, amazing Mar Mokum. And you could, if one didn't have some of these chazals, there's a minimalist way you could read Lo Yomush Mitzitar Mipicha. And in fact, from a strict halacha perspective, chazal do that, right? Kriya Shema, Chakras Varavits, right? There's a minimalist way you could look at it. But these Mamari Chazal are obviously telling us that the more maximalist way is the ideal way to be looking at this. And we are supposed to take this, you know, there was a hakira during I can't remember if it was the first election or second election that Trump ran, where people made the point you have to take him seriously, not literally. That was the hakiras. I thought it was very sharp. Whatever one's political orientation is, but it's just an important way of looking at people in general, when they, especially if they speak in very extreme ways, right? Do they mean it? What do you mean by mean? They mean it literally, but they might not mean it literally, but they still might mean it seriously. So here, you know, so how do you understand that? And do you put that, you connect that to Lo Yamush? It says the Tanna Rabbi Eliyahu, and apparently the Zalim Medrashim, which I didn't look up. You know, again, I don't know if he, at minimum, the Tanna Rabbi Eliyahu is saying take this seriously. He might even mean take it literally. I can't rule that out. But at minimum, he's saying, you know, this is not just some like nice way of saying it's important. No, it's critical. It's life enabling. Without this, you can't live. And again, does that mean literally a person will die if they learn Torah? The answer is, in that sense, the answer is no. But maybe in Olam Haba it means, I'm not sure. But again, at minimum, it's intended to be taken, you know, not flippantly at all, but very, very seriously, if not literally. Furthermore, another pasuk, which again you knew was coming in light of that Zohar, says in Mishlei Perek Gimel, Eitz Chaim Hi Machazikim Ba. That's the basis of this idea of referring to Torah as the Eitz Chaim. So it's the Eitz Chaim if you hold on to it. So it says Nefesh Chaim very beautifully. Ki Tzarcha Adam Likbo B'Libo. Person has to really be established in his heart. Yadame B'Da'ato. And I like the fact that he clearly is not doing that to be redundant or to just ratchet up his word count. All right, there's a difference between Libo and Daito. I spoke about that on Shabbos a little bit. I spoke about the Rashi, about Moshe Rabbeinu, that, V'yetzei Alachav, V'yar B'Sivlotam, Nasan Einav V'Libo Liyos Meitzar Aleya. So the way I explained it is very similar to this, you know, that Einav is just being aware of something. That's what he's saying, B'Daito, I would say. To be conscious of something, to be aware of something, right? People sometimes walk down the street, you don't see people are suffering. So Moshe Rabbeinu saw. He wasn't oblivious. He wasn't just looking at his phone as he walked down the street. But people sometimes see, and then it doesn't matter. It doesn't affect them. No, but it was also Libo, Lios Meitzar Aleya. So it says the Chaim Voloshin are similarly here too. A person has to really, really know, not just know intellectually, but know in their kishkas, Likvo B'Libo, Ilu Haya Toveya B'Nachal Shotev, because after all, let me explain it to you, says the Nefesh HaChaim B'Lamashal. If you were, God forbid, drowning, or you got washed away in a whitewater rapid, and Ro the fun of Benahar Ilan Chazak, and as you're running down, you see life flashing before your eyes. There's some strong tree that's sticking out up the side of the river, of the creek. Of course, you do everything you could, for all of your effort to try to reach and to hold on as hard as you could, as strong as you could, with every effort you had to hold on to that branch. You wouldn't let go. You wouldn't lighten your grip even for a moment. Because you know, if you let go for a second, that could be the end of your life. Would anyone not understand? Would anyone be foolish? Right? Even the fool would know that if he let go, he's not going to, you know, he's not going to have a chance to, you know, say goodbye to the apple. It's going to be gone. So says Nefesh HaChaim, this is what Shlomo HaMelech, the wisest of all men, was alluding to by giving the mashal of the Torah as Eitz Chaim. But not just Stam Eitz Chaim, Lemachazikibah. People forget that. They forget the second half of the puzzle. Kacha Torah, continues the Nefesh HaChaim, next paragraph. Kacha Torah HaKadosha, Nikreis Eitz Chaim, Ilona Dechaye, as we saw that same formulation in the Zohar. But only for what? Rak Oso Ha'Eit Sha'adam Achuz Ba'avata, Ba'Oseik U'Mahageh Ba' B'Kviyut, Azu Chaya Chaim, Amitim Elyonim, Ashur V'Dabur Kayacho B'Chay Ha'Olamim Yisbarach Shemo. It's very fascinating. There are certain things you could imagine, right? Just them being present, right? If you had, I don't know, some kind of, you know, through the air, you know, you had some medicine or something going out, you know, it's being released. Just being in his presence. You might have thought that, listen, we're talking about something magical, something mystical. So it's being in the presence of Torah, just committing to Torah in some abstract sense, or, you know, just, I don't know what one might have thought. But says Chaim Volozhin, no, you have to realize that Shlomo HaMelech is, you know, making a very important condition on this. It's not like a magical thing per se. I mean, it might be somewhat magical, but it's not an automatic thing. It's only for those who are machazikim ba. If you truly hold on to it.
Is it between being passive and active there?
I mean, he's certainly including as a part of the ideal learning it. But again, he in that sense, if that's what you mean, active, for sure. Again, but he has here a few different phrases, which I think are all interesting, right? So what you just referred to, I think, is the Osek Umahageba B'Kviyut, right? You really are using the Torah, you're learning the Torah, you're really literally not letting go. But he also has that phrase before that, which I think is very intriguing, Achuz B'Ahavata, right? You're kind of holding it with love, right? Shadam Achuz B'Ahavata. Now again, you might mean that you can't read this without context, and what's the shiur and how much you love it? In fact, you're actually learning it. I don't know, though. Is there an opening to say that there's some value that he's referring to in which if a person, even if he's not at the moment actively learning or maybe not learning as much as he should, but Bemet, he really loves the Torah. I don't know. I'm not 100% positive because he does have that different phrases, but maybe it's all meant to be read together, maybe almost without the comma. Shadam achuz ba'avato ve'osek omega ba'kviut, right? He loves it. That's why he's learning it all the time. Is there a mila to just loving it even if you're not learning all the time? Not 100% clear. But if a person does that, either way, whichever interpretation you want to give, then, because you're touching this life force, again, here's where Rav Chaim Volozhiner, the Kabbalist, is coming in. So you're holding on to this, and like, you know, it's again, you could imagine like holding on to something that's electrified, right? And then all of a sudden, these currents, which are coming from somewhere very high up, but it's conducted through the Eitz Chaim, and then you get the life charge. Through by holding on to the Torah, only a person who holds it. Kashur v'davur kavayacho b'chayolami is brashul, because as we've seen previously, kucha brichu uvaraisa chad. So if you hold on to the Torah, it's as if you're holding on to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And therefore, that's what gives you life. There's really only one life source, that's HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So you need to be connected to it in order to live, and the way that you're connected to it is through the connection to the Torah. Im chas hashalom yazniach talmudo. But if somebody disregards their learning, Uporesh mikfius aesikba, and he's no longer learning with any regularity. Lasuk behevle olam vahanosav, and rather he's running around after the vanities of this world. Nifsak v'nichras mechaim elyonim, he is separated, removed, no longer connected to these upper, higher level of life. Tavei atzma b'mayim ha'zeidonim rachmana l'tzlan. Right, and you are just, you know, basically at the mercy of forces that are far stronger than you can ever possibly hope to control. You know, it's interesting, I don't know for sure, I think he would agree with what I'm about to say, I just don't know if that's what exactly he means in this paragraph, but there's a famous story, I think they say with Rabban Kotler, certainly is Ra'ui for Rabban Kotler, and I think this is the story he's with, but how he went with one of like, you know, his shamoshim or his assistants, and they went to a certain very wealthy person to ask for money for the yeshiva, and either he said no, or he gave a very small amount of money. I think that was the effect. I can't remember. But the punchline, which is the important part of the story, was that, like, whoever on color, you know, this person, or maybe when they showed up to the house even, and, you know, the person who he was with was, like, very jealous of this magnificent house. And, you know, Rav Kotler was, you know, I can't remember how he put it, but the upshot was, if he'll give money, he'll have Olam Haza. He'll have Olam Haba. But we have Olam Haza. We get to learn. So, in somewhat similar vein, you say, right, if you really want to really be alive, running after the money or other things in this world, that's not a being alive. Now, again, you might say he only means, you know, the ultimate ability to live Olam Haba, which I think is less of a chiddush. You know, of course, if a person, you know, however one understands Olam Haba, the currency there is spiritual. But it could be that he means even in this world. Okay. The Zohar, in Parshas Vayetze, tells us, Zakoyin Inun Yisrael, how praiseworthy, how fortunate are we, O Israel. The Kudja Brichu Yahav Luhun Araisa Dikashot. Hashem gave us the true Torah. The Shtadala Bayama Valaila. Again, we're fortunate because we can learn it, and we should learn it every day, day and night. Tahokoman Deshtadala Baraisa, because anyone who studies Torah, Isle Cheru Michala. He has Cherus from everything. You know, this is Ein Ben Torah, El Misha Ozu B'Torah. Cherim in Mosa. So this is kind of the, again, presumably it does not mean in this world. That would be hard to maintain, but I guess it means presumably in the Olam Haba. If a person is learning Torah, so then he'll start to be free from death in Olam Haba. He'll get merit Olam Haba. The lo yachla l'shlata elei, because Misa again will not be shlata. Again, it can't mean that you never die if you learn Torah. That's just that's malign by reality.
Well, I heard the Gemara's they were learning.
David HaMelech?
No, but it was from the Amorayim that they were learning, and the second they stopped learning.
I think this is a story about David HaMelech. There's such a story. Okay, but those are, you know, yachid bi whatever. It's meaning, I'm just saying, like, if that would be the case, Chaim Kanevsky never would have died. you know, and I hesitate to mention other names, but like he's maybe the greatest Masmid of I don't know how many generations, you know. So again, maybe that's what he means. It's hard to know what the Torah means, but certainly it definitely can make sense if you think it's Om Haba. Begin the command Ishtada Baraisa, because and what's the way to so to speak defeat death by being Mishtadal in Torah. Ba, if you hold on to it, itachid b'ilana dechai. If you hold on to it, you're holding on to the tree of life. Yarpe garmei me'ilana dechai, ilana demosa shari yelahu. V'itachid bay. Right, but there's no in between. Either you're holding on to the tree of life, or you're holding on to the tree of death. But once you, something will be in that hand, and if you let go a little bit of the tree of life, so me'ila the tree of death comes. I don't remember. I don't know. It's hard to know exactly what he means, but there is an idea, you know, which I think the film Nagon says, and maybe others as well, that you know the gravitational force, the muhzak, is pulling you down. The person can say, "Listen, maybe I'm not learning all day, but I'm not doing anything bad. What does that mean?" The answer is no. That's the muhzak. The muhzak is that your body deteriorates. The muhzak is that your neshama, which is the spiritual creation or phenomenon, is in a physical world. It's just not in the place where. So if you're not actively nourishing it with spirituality, again, one could argue, and it's hard for me to believe that the Chaim Volozhiner would disagree. You could also spend time doing chesed, and there's other mitzvot to do, maybe. I can't imagine he's against that, chas v'shalom, in whatever the right proportion or ratio is. But you know, not to be involved in Torah, you know, I would define in this context not just the learning of Torah, but also living Torah. So once you're not doing that, you're not plugged in. Well, if you're not actively charging, the melee of the battery is being drained. There's no things in between. And apparently that's how the neshama works. Kama tzorcha odam litkoa ulikboa za inyan hanarob machshavot libo baltam timot. And you know, this is kind of a heavy thought. It's not a natural way to go through life. And therefore, says Rechaim Volozhiner, kind of aware of that, that a person has to put an extra effort to consciously be aware of this. Shekol odam v'chayav hu rak oto ha'et shehu davuk b'torah gadoja. Person is only truly alive when he is davuk in Torah. When he is separating himself from it, just focusing on the pleasures of this world, some other forces in control. So what's the point of being alive? Right? He may not realize it, but he's already dying. He is stuck in the depths of the evil. Nechshav meis mamish gam ba'odo b'za'olam. He may be, you know, there's such a concept in other Mamari Chazal, right? There could be Rishayim, you know, they're even considered dead while they're alive, so to speak. Holech midechi aldechi, he's going from one bad thing to the next. Tamavis v'lo sedarim v'lo yeda ki b'nafsho hu. Right? It's like, I can't remember where this is, but you see sometimes this, you know, the mashallah, you know, you have a plant, if under the ground you sever its roots, it's going to live for a few more days, but it's in the process of dying. So if you're not connected to Torah, not connected to Kedusha, so you may outwardly look like you're alive, but the process of dying has been accelerated. And finally, to conclude, he says, "Lazos haTorah atzma amareha tomar." The Torah itself says in Mishlei, I guess if you count Tanakh, there you go. V'chotei chomes nafsho. The sinner is doing violence to his own neshama. Or as it says in Dvarim Perek Daled, Hishamar lecho shmor nafshcha ma'od pentishkach ha-dvarim. In other words, you're doing it for your sake, not for Hashem's sake. Be careful, watch, take good care of your own soul. Umamaram Chazal, or as the Gemara Menacho says, Moshel Odom Shemasar Tzipor Dror Le'avdo. A person gave kind of a, tried to domesticate a wild bird. And Amar lo, he said to him, Kimeduma atash im ata ma'abda isar. You don't realize it's not going to go. You think just losing something small, but rather by taking something out of its, it can't live anymore. It's not intended to be domesticated. You think it's just a small thing, but really I'm taking your whole neshama if I take you away from Torah. Kedu b'marim chazal, or it says in Dvarim Rabba, Shamar Kash Baruch Hu la'odam, Neri b'yadcha, my candle is in your hand, so to speak. You have the Torah. But I have your candle, I have your neshama. Im shamarta es neri, if you observe, if you guard my ner, my Torah, and im shamar es nercha, I will guard your soul, I'll guard your candle. Lo shamarta es neri, etc., then I won't be able to guard yours. In other words, you know, what he's been saying, and this is not new, this is consistent with many things that we saw, you know, throughout the whole Shaar Dalet, is that, you know, this is very much a metaphysical cause and effect. It's simply the rules of the game. It's not, you know, like a volitional schar v'onesh, you know, kavyochel as it were. That Baruch Hu says, well, you know, I didn't like what you did, and therefore I'm going to punish you. Again, I imagine there could be something of that in his conception of life. But in terms of this point of not being connected to Torah, it's just simply the way the world works. If you're not connected to Torah, there's just that is the life force. So what are you going to do? There's just no other way to connect. So this is, you know, again, it's a pretty easy chapter, but it's, you know, where we're ending, you know, he's not holding back anymore, and he's crystallizing a lot of the things that we had seen, you know, until now. Mirtz Hashem, okay, we are set up for the final parak, which hopefully we can do in a few days.